Just because you can make stuff, buy stuff, invest stuff, doesn't mean that you know how to live.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's no connection between our standard of living and our quality of living.
Having stuff makes you no better at life than having a bunch of kids make you good at parenting.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Lots of people daydream about how much easier life could be if they just had more money. But Dr. Evans says affluence often causes more problems than it solves. He'll explain as he talks to us today about what it means to be truly rich.
The sun is always shining, and is always shining hot and bright. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that sun is pumping out the power of light. But in a lunar eclipse, the light that is supposed to reach the moon is cut off because the earth gets in the way. So that the moon stays dark, not because the sun is not shining, but earth is in the wrong position, keeping the light from hitting the moon. Everybody wants God's light to hit them. Unfortunately, earth keeps getting in the way. When we allow this world order to get between us and the S-O-N, the sun, then we ought not be surprised that things get dark in our earthly existence. Jesus, in chapter 12 of Luke, has been teaching. He comes to this place where he's teaching about the Holy Spirit and how important he is and critical he is for time and eternity. His teaching is interrupted by one of the listeners, one of the persons who was there listening to the sermon. He blurts out in the middle of the message, "Teacher," because he's been teaching, "tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." There was a family conflict about their daddy's will. There was a battle between these two brothers as to who would get the money. When he asked Jesus this question of intervening, Jesus has a curious response. He says in verse 13, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter over you?" Now, you need to know that the word "you" at the end of verse 14 is plural. You can be singular, you can be plural. It's plural. So Jesus is saying, who made me arbiter over y'all? If he was speaking Texan. Y'all want me to fix this money problem, this inheritance problem, these possession issues between the two of you. Why does Jesus respond to the man's request that way? Jesus was speaking about spiritual stuff. The man interrupts it with financial stuff, possession stuff. It's as though the man was saying, okay, all that heaven stuff is nice, but I got to live right down here. And my brother got my money, and my money is funny. And so I need you to fix my earthly situation. I got that heaven stuff, but this ain't Sunday. This is Monday. Fix my real world dilemma. Me and my brother fighting over this money. So Jesus responds by telling him, if you invite me into your family dispute about your will, your daddy's will, then you have to understand that when the teacher, me, gets into your family discussion, I am not going to limit my answer to merely your earthly dilemma. My answer has got to deal with the root and not mainly the question of the fruit. You asked me about arbitrating the conflict between you and your brother, but there's actually something deeper going on. So I not only want to deal with what you ask, I want to deal with the motive that made you ask me about it. See, that's why a lot of folk don't want Jesus. Because they just want to hang out with the fruit and not get to the root. So Jesus now takes the conversation deeper than the question, because he knew the heart that was behind the question. And in taking it deeper, it leads him to verse 15. Then he said to them, beware, watch out, and be on guard for every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. He says, watch out for every form greed takes. Greed has nothing to do with how much money you have, where you live, the house you live in, the clothes you wear, the car you drive. The fact of money or possessions does not equal greed. Because greed has to do with something else that affects things and money and possessions. Greed, in biblical terms, has to deal with whether you have placed the physical ahead of the spiritual. Greed has to do with whether your pursuit of things has blocked God out. You are greedy even when you love the money that you don't have, that you want to have. Because your passionate pursuit of it, even if you don't have it, has blocked out the priority of God, God's will, and God's kingdom in your life. Greed is the passionate pursuit of things at the expense of spiritual. So it is a priority issue. There is religious greed. Religious greed. Where the Bible and God are used to place the physical over the spiritual, even though you sprinkle Jesus' name on it, is called prosperity theology. God is not against prospering, but a theology that makes God your Santa Claus, that makes God merely your financier, is an unrighteous form of greed. When God told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, where was God telling Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go to? Okay, I heard a couple of answers. Some said the promised land. He told him to tell Pharaoh, let my people go into the wilderness to worship me, not to the promised land. Why? Before God ever wanted to give him the stuff, the land flowing with milk and honey, he says, I want you to hook up with me where there is no milk and honey, where it's dry out there in the promised land, where you're going to have to depend on me for water and manna and all the make it to the promised land. I want them to meet me before they meet my blessing. Because if they skip me and go directly to their blessing, they will get so enthralled with their blessing that they will forget the me who met them in the wilderness. God does not mind you having a promised land as long as you do not skip him when you get there. So it can take religious forms. Can take personal forms where your pursuit of your career, your pursuit of your financial security, your pursuit of your reputation, your pursuit of your economic gain can push God out. And that's a form of greed. Beware, he says. Look at how many couples divorce over money or fight over it. They battle, they go to war, because this selfishness gets in the form of possessions and money. Debt accumulates because contentment is lost, and it becomes a form of greed that intervenes and interferes with the harmony in the home. He says, beware. And there are some simple ways to know if you're greedy. If you're spending more time complaining than giving thanks, you're on the road to greedy if you're not there yet. If you're always talking about what you don't have and don't ever see what God has done, Paul says, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content, to be at ease where I am until God grants me more. It's not wrong to want to do better, to want to have more, but to be discontent is an indicator. To accumulate debt so that you have to rob God is a form of greed. He says, watch out for every form of greed. Why? He says at the end of verse 15, not even when one has more than enough does his life consist of his possessions. Oh, now you're not going to get that from Hollywood or Madison Avenue. They're going to tell you your life is what you have, who you know, how much of it you have. He says, and when you connect life to stuff, you've been duped.
Dr. Evans will be back in just a moment with a look at what happened to a man who wound up getting everything he thought he wanted. First, though, a quick reminder that we're offering Tony's current series, The Eternal Perspective, as our gift. This 10-part collection focuses on how to avoid letting what's in front of you take attention away from what's ahead of you. You'll discover the benefits and blessings of not waiting till you die to start living the forever life Jesus gave you. Just visit TonyEvans.org, make a contribution, and we'll say thanks by sending you all 10 lessons in the Eternal Perspective CD collection. But don't wait, this special offer is only available for a few more days. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call 1-800-800-3222. Where members of our resource team are on duty 24 hours a day to help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson after this.
It's just about the most exciting opportunity a pastor's wife could hope for. A luxurious 7-day cruise hosted by Lois Evans.
Take some time to come away to be refreshed, to relax, and also to get some training from some wonderful women that want to speak into your life.
You'll hear from Priscilla Shire, Debbie Titus, Crystal Evans Hurst, Meredith Shepherd, Gloria Morrow, and Rhoda Gonzalez with worship by Carolyn Traylor.
There'll be time for networking and a whole host of other activities just for you.
And along the way, you'll stop in exciting ports of call in Jamaica, the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, and the Mexican Riviera.
So you don't want to miss this wonderful time of celebration. It provides a safe place for you to network, for you to get spiritually fed.
The Pastor's Wives Ministry Cruise, February 22nd through 29th, 2020. Get details and make reservations today at TonyEvans.org.
You're in for the thrill of your life. I look forward to seeing you.
He told them a parable, verse 16. The land of a rich man was very productive. So let's just stop there. We've got an entrepreneur. He is very, very successful. He's what every person dreams to be, productive in his life. And he was very productive. So this is the guy who worked hard, who took care of his business, and it was working out for him. Verse 17 tells us a little bit more about him. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what should I do since I have no place to store my crops? This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. He keeps talking about himself. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to plan this, and I'm going to plan that. And when I get all this stuff where I want it to be, he says, then I will say to my soul, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It's time to retire. Now, I know I'm talking to folks Many who have retirement in mind, you can't wait to eat, drink, and be merry, to not have to go to that job. You got the 401k, you've got the savings accounts, you've got the various retirement tools, and you are planning for that day when nobody's owning your 9-to-5. So you are seeking to be as productive as you can now in light of that time that you can retire. That was this man's dream. And he spent all of his waking, working time to make that dream of retirement occur. God said to him, "You fool. What's the problem? This very night, your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared?" He had a major miscalculation. He was assuming he was going to get to retire. He was assuming he was going to make it to Social Security. He was doing what many people do today. Put off God till I have time. Put off God till I don't have to work. Put off ministry to others until I can get around to it. Right now, I got a bill for my future. But he ran into two words. Two words that can reverse for good or for evil any scenario at any time, but God. See, you can't leave those two words out of your equation, because those two words can totally reverse your situation for good or for bad. But God. When you leave God and the eternal perspective out of your plans, it's not wrong to have your plans. It's not wrong to be productive with your plans. He does not condemn the fact that this guy was working hard and wanted to enjoy the fruits of his labor. God's concern is he wanted to do all of that without divine consideration. He wanted to do that independently of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 16, talks about those who are rich, those who wanted to be rich. And he says, "The love of money is root of all evil." Not money, but the love of it. Why? Because you put it before God. He says, if God gives it to you, he gives it to you to enjoy, but he expects you not to lose him in the process of gaining it and not to forget others in the process of using it. That's why he says in that chapter, be rich in good works. Let me put it this way. The more you're blessed, the more generous you should be, and the more helpful you should become for the benefit of others. Because there is an eternity around the corner. But God told him. Isaiah 22, verses 12 to 14, and in verse 56, verse 12, he says, "You say, eat, drink, and be merry, and you forget God." You plan your future out, and you are a fool, he says. The scripture makes it clear, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Death is not a period, it is a conjunction. You transition. You leave this earth by appointment. You may be late for a lot of things in your life. You'll be on time for this one. No, I know what some of you are thinking. You said, but no, I work out. I eat fruits and vegetables. You know, I go to the doctor every year for my annual checkup. So I think I'm good because I'm healthy. Okay, you're healthy, so you're going to be hit by a car. In other words, you're not going to miss this day because it's already on the calendar. God has taken into consideration your choices and your decisions, but it's already written on the calendar. You just don't know the date. The word fool in Greek means to be mindless, senseless, or let me put it in everyday colloquial language, stupid. Don't be stupid. Don't live and put a weight on stuff that boxes out an eternal perspective and the presence of God in the decision making. This guy, let me tell you why it's easy to exclude the eternal perspective when you're trying to make it in time. And look at the effort and weight and time and energy we put in. We all put in to make it. We all want to make it. So we get it edumacated to make it. We climb the ladder in order to make it. We make contacts with people who can help us to make it. We are consumed with making it. This guy made it. But what he forgot along the way was that everything he was using to make it depended on God. Okay, let's review. He had very productive land, but I don't think he made land. So the very system that he was building his productivity on depended on God creating property. His land was productive, which means he had rain. I don't think he made rain. Well, his productive land depended on sun. He ain't make that. His productivity that depended on land, sun, and rain needed seed. But he didn't make seed in a lab. It came from crops that already existed that had a system built into it to reproduce after its own kind, giving him seeds for more productivity than he started with. And even his own ability to get up in the morning depended on oxygen being present. So there is no productivity without God. God does not want you to wait till you make it to include him. He doesn't want to have to wait till you finish school. Wait till you get that job. Wait till you get that promotion. Wait till. He doesn't want you to wait till. Because he could call your name tonight. And then he says, now what will you do with what you have? Wow. Nothing. Because you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Right. If the doctor told you, you have 1 year left to live, that's it, I can guarantee you priorities would change. Everything would change because you're no longer in control of time. Okay. So what God wants you to do with your life, while he wants you to plan for the future, the Bible tells us that. It says, I want you to live for today. But he says, I want you to live for today like it could be your last, because it could be. Okay, so God, what's your point? What you want? What do you want us to get out of this from an eternal perspective? He tells you in his closing verse, verse 21, so is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. There it is. He says, here's my point. He's talking to the man who wants Jesus to arbitrate between him and his brother. He says, you want to be rich for you, and there is no divine consideration in anything you are planning. You are planning this independently of God, because I want to get to the root. The more aware you are of your mortality, the more you live with different priorities. When our desire for stuff disconnects us from God, guess what he's saying? You're going to miss life. Rich in life can make you poor with God. Not because rich is wrong, but because misplacing God is wrong. Rich with God is allowable. Having stuff does not make you good at life. We know people who have stuff who are poor with life. Having stuff makes you no better at life than having a bunch of kids make you good at parenting. Just because you can make them don't mean you can raise them. And just because you can make stuff, buy stuff, invest stuff, doesn't mean that you know how to live. But God is saying to you and me, is keep eternity in your face so that you can live a life in history. Don't say, next year I'm going to serve you, God. Next year I'm going to give you some time. Next year I'm going to tithe. Next year I'm going to do this. Next year I'm going to do that. When I get better, when things get better, and you procrastinate, and you procrastinate, and it's all about you, all about now, all about me, myself, I. It's all about that, God. I can't worry about any of that other stuff. I'll do that later. When later may never come. Yes, plan. Yes, maximize what God gives you, but not at the expense of God.
Have you considered what your future looks like if later doesn't come? Here's Dr. Evans with a thought about that.
If you died right now, why would you tell God he should let you into heaven? There's only one answer that he'll accept, and that is because your sin that would keep you out of heaven has already been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are trusting Jesus Christ for your entrance. Only faith in Christ guarantees you entrance into God's heaven. Put your trust in him alone today for salvation.
There's more to the story, and Dr. Evans would love to share it with you. Just visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. He has a short, powerful video that explains what real Christianity is about, along with some free follow-up resources. It could be the most important few minutes of your life. One last time, that's at TonyEvans.org. Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a closing thought about the possible side effects of the wrong kind of riches. First, though, if you'd like a copy of today's message, it comes as a part of his current series, The Eternal Perspective. As I mentioned earlier, you'll get all 10 full-length lessons in this collection as our gift, in appreciation for your contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Don't forget, this limited-time offer runs out in just a few more days, so contact us right away. Get details online at TonyEvans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Using your high beams on a dark road gives you reassurance that you're not about to run into something dangerous. Well, next week, Dr. Evans says that an eternal perspective on life can do the same thing spiritually. You won't want to miss that. Right now, though, he's back with his final story for today.
I like you. Sit down and you watch TV, and they got commercials about medicines designed to make you better. But then comes the warning. Some commercials spend more time on the warning than the description of the benefit of the medicine. There is one commercial that says this medication will help you sleep. Beware. It may give you suicide thoughts. This will heal you, but it could kill you. This world offers you medicine. The medicine of prosperity, the medicine of notoriety, the medicine of security. It offers you the medicine, but what this world does not do is give you the warning. Our job is to give you the warning that if you take the medicine of greed without the warning of danger, this medicine called affluenza can kill you. So don't leave God out if you want to have life and not just want to exist. Because a person's life does not consist of the things that he or she has.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.